I'm Andrew Ramsay, and you're listening to episode 151 of Photography Insights, the show that interviews people from the photography world. In this week's show, I have a person who has been talked about so much. Many of our fine art guests have talked about the Griffin Museum and a lady called Paula Tognarelli, so we managed to arrange a suitable time, and here we are. First off, I should say thanks to all my friends for recommending her. Paula is simply a lovely character who cares deeply about the museum and the artists. From the long days in the office to searching Instagram in the early hours of the morning, she does not stop hunting for great people to work with. And it's clear from our conversation, she really enjoys the world of photography. So after 20 years at the Griffin Museum, you can understand her quest to retire and get back to her ideas. Coming from a family of inventors, hopefully she'll find time to execute some of her thoughts. So in this one we discuss curators, mindsets, diversity, portfolio reviews, advice for artists, passions and teamwork. And Paula also goes through my random questions, so I'll find out which film she recommends you don't watch. And of course there are links to the museum's Instagram and website. And before we move on to the show, we'd obviously like to thank our friends of the show, Chroma Camera, Film Dev and Static Age. And this week's shout out is for Kat Riker, who left us a lovely review on Google, and not only that, she's now become a friend. So here we go. I had the pleasure of speaking with Andy recently and found him to be not only an approachable and kind guy, but one of those who immediately feels like one of your favourite family members. You know the type, the ones that who are easygoing, non-judgmental, helpful and fun to bounce ideas around with. He's humble, curious, and just lovely overall. Our interview honestly flew by, and had there been time, I feel like we could easily have talked for hours. Of his podcast in general, there is something for everyone. He has interviewed such a wide variety of talent on topics ranging from science to alt processes to the human experience, and just about everything in between. Check it out. There is guaranteed to be someone on there you'll connect with. I've been exposed to so many photographers I hadn't heard of prior, and I've had a huge takeaway from all of them. So thank you, Kat. You know how much that meant to me. Such lovely words. And we did spend hours and hours, and it's been many hours since, so yeah. So I suppose we ought to move you onto the show and await our lovely guest, Paula from the Griffin Museum. And welcome to the show, Paula.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Andrew.
No, it's my pleasure. I'll tell you, the number of people who talk about you, as well as the museum, sometimes separately, it's amazing, honestly.
Wow.
So it's a compliment.
Well, thank
to you, I'll
you.
Tell you.
Jeez, it's nice to know. On my way out of the business.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I came in at the downfall. I mean,
yeah,
I do this to people, you know. You see, to companies, just waltz in and everyone
yeah.
leaves. It must be something I'm doing.
Well, you know, I don't think I'm leaving. I just think there's just another way to do what I'm doing, and I just haven't found it yet. And I just needed to go on vacation.
Yeah. Well, you deserve one after this time, don't you?
Yeah, so I won't be gone far. I just don't know what it's going to be or where it's going to be. Or I do know there'll be some significant downtime, and I'm just waiting for it to unfold because I love serendipity. I'm sure it will come in an interesting way and not forced.
No, because that's definitely something you pick off a lot of people, that a lot of ideas and projects come from just relaxing, and something will happen and an idea will come and they'll test something out.
Yeah, I do my best thinking while I sleep.
Okay, you're one of them, are you? Yeah, so you wake up with the
Yeah,
idea.
and if I don't have a piece of paper close, it's just gone until I dream of it again.
I'm the morning person, so I'll be like driving to work, and then I'll come up with an idea, and I have to slam the brakes on, pull over, and write the idea down. Otherwise, I'm the same; it's gone.
Well, in my 20 years, I tell you that it's been like one big push. Every day is a push, and there's very little time to dream or to think about ideas. And that's what I really want to do. There's been some ideas that I've held for myself for when I do leave. But my family has been inventors. My brother is an inventor.
Ooh.
And I have ideas that I didn't give away to the museum. So I'm hoping to execute those in my downtime. It may be a failure,
That's
but
cool.
if I don't do it, I'll be disappointed.
No, that's good though, isn't it? That's what it's all about. I mean, you've obviously seen a lot of things, you've seen a lot of artists, you've seen a lot of change in the industry. I mean, let's talk initially about the museum, if that's all right. So do you want to introduce more about the Griffin than any other guest has? Tell us all about it.
Well, the Griffin is a museum dedicated solely to photography. It was founded in 1992 by a man by the name of Arthur Griffin. He was a photojournalist, but he also photographed the landscape. He was the Boston Globe rotogravure department. He photographed Ted Williams in his rookie year of baseball for the Red Sox. And I'm not sure how this man made his money, but he endowed the museum, thankfully, for me and the past executive directors. And he left at the age of this world at the age of 97. And he founded this museum, which was to really focus on the photograph. He endowed this museum, and he planned for programs and education and talks and exhibitions to happen and to gather his friends and photographers from the New England area to have discussion and to promote photography through the galleries. So he died around 2001. I did not know him. I just missed him. But and there were many directors that he worked with, but the one significant director I think that pushed this museum to where it is today was a woman by the name of Blake Fitch. She actually was the person who talked me into quitting my six-figure income job to go back to school and work for $15 an hour and become a museum director. And I followed in her footsteps with the direction that she's put us in. So, when I started here, I started as the intern and then became the deputy director. And then around 2006-ish, I became the executive director. So we went from two galleries to now we have four galleries at the museum, and then we have two satellite galleries. And we used to have more satellite galleries, but with COVID, I cut that back because, for one thing, some of the galleries weren't even opened to allow exhibitions, and it got cumbersome to be traveling out in the public. So now there's just two, more manageable. I would say on average, we do about 54 exhibitions a year, believe it or not.
Hell of a
It
lot.
is a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
But there's such a tremendous need for venues. What I saw is that in the New England area, there were photographers, having to go across country to do an exhibition. There were no local, too many local opportunities. So, my thinking was if I can focus on exhibitions with emerging and those that are have emerged, it really would fill a need. So that's what we did is we started these satellite galleries, which gave us more exhibition space for photographers. Focused on those that were emerging. And I can tell you that I have watched some of these photographers grow from fledgling photographers to photo stars. And I think that's what we're good at, is spotting talent. One of my philosophies, and probably what photographers are attracted to is I've always advocated that photographers should photograph and focus on their passions, not to worry about what my passions are or my aesthetic. I want the best in each photographer that I work with, that they reach their potential and they reach their passion. Some people don't want exhibitions. Some people are looking to, to work with the document or to bear witness or commercial work. So I think our responsibility is to take the time to get to know the people we're working with. And help them be the best that they can be. And
It's not.
anything more, I think, is irresponsible. I do. And that's what I've dedicated myself to, the past 20 odd years, is to help them achieve that. And, for some, by being able to give them an exhibition, it has catapulted them into another opportunity. And I think, people like myself, curators, we don't take risks. Well, I take risks because I love to take risks. But, sometimes by taking a risk, you can fail. I just know, failure is a possibility, and if you feel you're failing, you need to abandon ship really quickly and try something else. But as far as spotting talent, as far as photographers, I think we're very good at that. Not it's just not me, it's the people that I surround myself with, the people that I work with, my crew, the staff. My goal is to teach the same kind of mindset that I have to everyone that works here. In essence, I train them so that they can have my job. And I tell you know, they've really blossomed. You know, they've stayed for a long time and then gone off on their own, and they've gotten some stellar jobs. And I'm very proud of that. Because, you know, it takes a team. I'm somebody that alone, you know, we're good. Together, we're even better. And I also love collaborations.
In one of the outstanding ones that I remember talking to was Kathleen Dryden, and then she started doing this stuff about Voices of
Yeah.
Race. I mean, it's literally going to change her life, and that was only last
Yeah.
year. Fabulous lady, and she's getting local publicity, and it was really nice because it was like when she realized maybe none of us were perfect, and that we haven't thought about the racial issues before at being a certain age that we are. And then when she started doing the photos, someone of color said to her, "But why are you doing these photos?" And then it was started asking her questions of maybe why she should take these and in which way she should take them as well. You can't start taking pictures of black people or Asian people and saying, I know about these racial issues. And it was like, God, yeah. It's such a big lesson.
It really is. And what a shame that it's taken so long for us to pay attention.
It's
It
sad.
really is. It's embarrassing, I think. It's like we're educated, we're smart. We should know better. And you know, and this isn't to put blame anywhere else. It's really, I take blame for it. But I look at, you know, where I have found photographers and my methods of finding photographers, and you know, shame on me for relying on that. You know, we go to these reviews, and you know, I do probably 1,000 reviews a year, you know, that I'm doing portfolio reviews with people. And because I find that I can't handle the submissions that come in through the mail or through the email, I just couldn't do them justice. So I was going out in search of them, and that's what I use, you know, as the fodder for our exhibitions, the mainstay. And you know, where we were going, you know, who's there? It's a certain age. It's a certain we have certain means. You'd look around the room, and it certainly wasn't very diverse at all. And I think that's changing, and thank God it should have been. And there's more outreach. There's a number of organizations that have been founded specifically to present a diverse photographer. And you know, just in Massachusetts, I was told that there had not been a black photographer that had a major exhibition in our major museums in the Boston area. What was that about? Like, how did we miss that boat? You know, I've always, data is really important, and I've always kept track of statistics, like how many women I show, how many men that I show, how many persons of color, how many gay people. And I certainly fell down on the diversity issues. I'm trying to make up for that, but it's embarrassing, and I should have known better. I just, you know, hope to foster that in the people that stay here at the museum who remain behind, the board, we've gone through diversity training and such. Because those, I don't know, those statistics are shameful. I know that we're not alone, but that's no excuse, no excuse at all. Especially where we are today, it should reflect the world, really, who we are here.
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because like you're trying to find work, and it in essence the person behind it should be irrelevant in some senses because the work is important. So you shouldn't have to search for certain types of people to submit work, should you? It should be we just naturally look at amazing
Right.
work, but that's the problem is they don't get that opportunity to submit, do they?
Right. So we have to put things in place that make it natural, but at the same time, not be patronizing.
No.
It's a very hard line. I've been lucky in that I have a number of mentors who have counseled me. In our neighborhood in the museum, we have a it's called the Network for Social Justice, and I used to be on their board, but I couldn't handle the time. But they've taken us under their wing. You know what? And I know that it will continue after I leave, which is really important.
No, I agree. It's interesting that the way you get your submissions for exhibitions then is through portfolio reviews. It was a thing I'd never really heard of till I started speaking to artists saying, you must really get your work critiqued. And, falsely, I'd always assumed it just meant, say, someone you knew who'd maybe more experienced looked at your work. But this seems like a really professional way of getting your work in front of really experienced people, isn't it?
Yeah. It really is. And for me too, it's an opportunity for me to be able to meet with my peers. Of course, we love seeing photographers work, but we don't often get to spend a weekend with each other. So we are able to exchange ideas at those at that period of time too. And I do see the portfolio reviews changing. They recognize that they need to change as well.
Well, I mean, it's got to be available for practically no money because it. That's a really tough stumbling block for so many
Oh, I
people,
know.
isn't it?
It's yeah,
It's.
it is. But there's no reason why for anyone that can't afford a portfolio review, there should be scholarships, a number of scholarships set aside. I mean, it's a fine line.
Yeah. That must be a really tough thing for you as an organisation to try and do something nice for the community, but in a kind way, that's not disrespectful for any sort of
Right.
person, isn't it?
Right.
I don't know if anyone's got the answer though.
I know it's clumsy. It's all clumsy, and it's really just about empathy and camaraderie. And we're joined as photographers, but there's so many layers. You just have to do the right thing.
I think opening your eyes is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Or it's not like you are a men's only club,
Right.
which, turn of the century, I mean, would a woman have been allowed to go photograph a man by himself?
No.
So there's lots of
Right.
questions like that.
Right. But I also do as a member of the museum, you are entitled to a free once a year portfolio review with me, so one-on-one. That's also how I find talent. I also I go out into the world and find it as well, visiting exhibitions, looking to see who's showing at institutions. You can't just have one source. And
Nah.
books. I love books. I'm a I have a problem with books.
Same.
It's a minor problem. I love to go to the Museum of Fine Arts. But what I love, I mean, I love the exhibitions there, but I love their bookstore. They have the best collection in their gift shop. So I like to go
Okay.
pour through them and find obscure artists. And
No, so, I mean, so what would your advice be then to say an artist who hasn't been found wants to maybe exhibit his work somewhere, or they want to get some traction going? What would you advise them to do?
Get a website is very important. That's the other thing. People like me, we're trolling websites at 2 in the morning. After our day work and our evening work comes the searching, and so many photographers don't have websites, or they don't have good websites.
Oh,
If I
yes.
get stuck in a slow website, I give up. It's just it takes too long for
Same here.
something to be loaded. But the other thing is, it's good to converse with your peers, and they will communicate places that they should be, that others should be visiting. You have to be proactive. You have to follow up in all cases. If you go to a portfolio review, you have to follow up with the reviewers that you saw. And you have to remember that these people are pretty busy. It used to be, technology has made it so that, day to day is just so hard. Email alone. I mean, you have your snail mail, you have your social media mail, you have your email. There's so many ways for people to communicate, and everybody wants you to communicate in 30 minutes or less. And there are also organizations have cut back on staff. So, somebody like myself, I do the administration, I do the bills, I do the curating. Whereas I used to be able to pick up the phone and answer it, I can't do that anymore. You have to take a chance and put yourself out there. And don't be disappointed if somebody doesn't reply to you right away. And I say this only because I know how busy on a day-to-day basis that I am, that sometimes, emails come and they linger below the line and I lose them. But it works. I know that I sometimes have opportunities that happen and I get an email from somebody reminding them of me about their work. And I call them up and I say, I'd like you to be in this show. Can you do it? Can you be ready in a month's time? The other thing you need to do is to go to exhibitions, especially if they're local. I mean, I'm not advising getting on a plane and going to a gallery show, although wouldn't that be lovely if you could afford to do that? But get to know the gallerists. Definitely, I advise never to confront a curator or a gallerist during an exhibition opening. Those people are, they're attuned to who's in attendance, that, they want to make sales. The last thing they want to do is to hear that you want an exhibition with them. But, do it like you would any social event. You keep going back, you make yourself known. And then eventually you have this conversation with a gallerist, and not about your work, but perhaps it's about the work on the walls. Eventually they know who you are, and then it naturally comes such that they invite you to show them your work. I like to talk to people about looking at artists that they feel are kindred spirits. Look at their CVs then and see who's attracted to the kind of work that you do, who's showing work like yours. And there's nothing wrong with a cold email or a cold call. It either works or it doesn't. You can't be shy in this business, and sometimes the squeaky wheel gets what they want. You
Do you think there's anything to like going in with, say, handprints, for instance, or paper portfolios anymore? Do you think that's needed?
There's nothing better than actually seeing the print, but you have to remember that people like me, we're trained. We know it's probably best to see the actual print, but that can come later. That can come nearer the exhibition time. We know how to read JPEGs, and people know how to print today. They're not the same kind of issues that used to happen, that work would come in and it was underresolved. That's few and far between today. People know how to print, or they have their prints done professionally. So I have no problem looking at people's portfolios online, or as JPEGs, or as PDFs. It's probably cheaper. And then, something more polished can come later. But the preview, I think that the JPEG is fine. You just have to, reach out. If you don't reach out, how are people going to find you? I like to, the photographers that I've given my time to, I'll offer to make introductions for them to curators that I know, and I think that their work may sit with them. I know other curators do the same thing, because I get those references as well. It's not immediate, and the one thing that has to happen is that patience needs to be learned. It's hard to wait, but sometimes work isn't ready to be shown, and
Yeah, scary stuff. I mean, like for the exhibition side then, what made or what makes a good exhibition?
Well, from my point of view, I like to infuse a little bit of social justice into everything that we do. The topic may not be considered social justice, but I like to put it in there. For example, we did an exhibition with Jerry Takagawa. It was called False Foods. We also did another one recently, but the one that I really loved was his False Foods. He does these beautiful images. Mostly the backdrop is his family and family photographs. And then he's developed a relationship with people in California, Carmel area, with a marine organization, and they give him access to these plastics that they've found, in the bellies of the albatross. Now, To the uneducated eye, they come into the exhibition and they see these beautiful images. The plastics have played out in designs. And some people will only go that far. Like they'll look at the image and they see its beauty and they don't go any further. And I'm okay with that. Those who dive a little bit more into the work, they recognize these plastic objects, and then they realize they dig a little deeper. They discover the albatross, and then the plastics pollution, in the Pacific waters, which plastic pollution now is in any body of water that you have. Not necessarily a social justice issue, but it's an issue that we all should be thinking about. But it's done in a way that isn't going to cause people to run from the room. I had thought about Chris Jordan's work. He does photograph the bellies of the albatross, and then he didn't get it back to me, and which was kind of good in the end because I found Jerry's work. And I think people are more apt to look at a topic and explore it more in a way that it takes some layers to get to the real point of the story. I also did a body of work called, the show was called Bullet Points. And my thinking around that was that to get people leaving the exhibition talking about gun control, but not saying that, parents would bring their children and then they go home and they sit around the dining room table talking about it. And my thought thinking was, it's really not the gun that's the problem. A gun is really just a hammer when you think about it. It's the bullet.
It's just cool.
And here again, we had these images. One photographer had worked with her local police department, and she had them take various guns and shoot into acrylic. And the photographs were the aftermath of where the bullet had actually landed through the acrylic. Now, they had this celestial kind of feel to them, the beauty of, perhaps craters or planets or a constellation. But when you finally realized what it was, that it was a bullet going through acrylic, your mind goes to, what would bone look like if a bullet went through it? And then it gets people on that topic of talking about guns and violence. So it's another way of, capturing dialogue, but not directly.
Yeah, I get that. That's really nice.
Thank you. That's what I love to do in an exhibition.
Well, what I want to do now with you, Paula, is go through my fun random questions. Okay, so I'll start you on something nice and easy. Does your brain get rusty if you don't use it? Because all tools and metal does, doesn't it?
It
So
does, but a little Coca-Cola will clear that right up.
that's true. Coca-Cola is the devil, though. We can't include that.
I know,
It's definitely not good
you're
for anything from
right.
inside. Yeah.
Does your brain get rusty? Well,
Mine
if you
does.
let it, I think it's something that we're always thinking. Maybe we just change a little bit about what we're thinking about. And maybe it feels like a little bit of a vacation when we do that. You know, if you get out of the workspace and don't think about work, but you think about a blade of grass or a wisp of a cloud, you can't tell me that you're going to get rusty if you're thinking that way. I think it actually grows your mind and allows you to be able to go back to work and shovel that. That everyday occupation. So if you don't do that, I think you do get rusty. You know, if you just spend your time watching Netflix and Amazon Prime and television programs day after day, I think you do get rusty. You have to do things that you enjoy. I think that should be the word you use. If you don't do things you enjoy, you get rusty. Yes, you do.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, my daughter asked me that one, so that's a good point, actually. So obviously, you've got to encourage them to keep thinking and doing stuff, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, if I lived back during the Renaissance, it would be perfect for me because I have so many things that I love. And well, I always joke, I'm a jack of all trades, a master of none, in essence, you know, a Renaissance person. I've got my hands in everything. I'm interested in everything, but I never have time to do anything. You know, and I thought I was going to be a scientist when I was growing up. Because in my room, in my drawers, I would keep shrimp and frogs and dissect them. I had a mineral collection because I was just always interested in why. And I think if we learn that and keep with it after we grow, we'll never be bored. There's just so much to learn. I do watch, I mean, I do watch television. I watch a lot of television, mostly in the wee
Yeah, but
hours
we
of
all do.
the
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the thing though, isn't it? It's that time of day. You're not sat there all day watching it instead of proper work or whatever. Yeah. No, I totally get you. Okay. So what film should everybody avoid?
What film?
It's amazing how many people struggle with this because you tend to blank them out of your mind
Oh,
a
once
bit.
you've seen them. Yeah. You know what? I can't think of any that I remember. And that's whatever those I can't remember, don't watch those because they didn't make an impression.
Is there a genre that you don't like, for instance?
Pretty open. Oh, you know, it was the worst film I ever saw in all my life was Raising Arizona. It's
Oh, that's
I've heard people love that. It was like that was the worst video or movie that I ever
yeah,
saw. Couldn't even sit
I've
through
watched that.
it.
Yeah, I remember that from the old days. No, that's definitely not my worst. No. Fast and Furious 9 was absolute
Yeah.
garbage. Cars into space, it was like,
Come
come on,
on.
you've took this too
Yeah.
far. American Hot Rods are
Yeah.
beautiful. They don't need to go into space.
No.
I mean, come on. Hollywood's just, honestly, I don't know what's going on. Okay. So, you've just entered the afterlife and you get to choose any animal and they will bond with you for eternity. Would you choose?
Oh, you know, I love dogs. I,
You're a dog
yeah, I'm
lover.
a dog lover. So, and I've, you know, I've raised a menagerie, in a small apartment. So I love animals. I've had guinea pigs and rabbits and parakeets and cockatiels and lizards and gerbils and hamsters. But the dog is, there's truth to being human's best friend.
Yeah, there's a lot of people say that.
I've had cats too. Cats are a wonderful too. But they have minds of their own.
Yes.
In their time, they'll give you the
Exactly. Yeah, it's t totally different,
Yeah.
isn't it? It's a dog. Although today was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Someone was walking a cat in the park.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think I've ever in my life seen that happen. And they were honestly on a lead, and they had a dog as well.
Wow.
And I was just thinking, this is going to be the slowest walk you've ever done, love, honestly.
Absolutely.
And of course, it would just stand there.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Well, I actually, when I had my rabbit, I took the rabbit out on a leash. Also taught my cat to go to the toilet on the toilet seat.
Wow, that is incredible.
I was gonna try the rabbit, but I didn't. But yeah, and then I just it was taking up the cat was taking up too much toilet time.
That's terrible, isn't it?
It is.
Get out!
It's my turn.
It's funny. It's funny. Anyway, okay. So, your next question. What is your biggest disappointment in photography?
Well, I am disappointed at those who still consider photography not a fine art or an art form.
Okay.
And they exist.
Do
They still do. And surely I'm just very vocal about it. There's a couple of art associations that treat photographers different than they treat their other fine art artists.
Right.
You'll find the photography galleries are upstairs. And the painting and the sculpture and the drawing are all on the main floor in the big galleries. It's just not right.
Okay.
So that disappoints me. You'd think we're well over that, but we're not.
Yeah, that's surprising.
I'm disappointed in photography. Well, here in Massachusetts, it's a big photo town. Yet, the galleries, it's hard to sell photography. What ends up happening is people come to the photo galleries, they find artists that they want to own, and then they go to New York to buy them. It's like, what is that about? Is it more prestigious
Okay.
to buy in New York than it is here? So I feel for the gallerists here who have had to broaden their galleries to include other mediums in order to stay alive. There's less and less just photography galleries here in our cities.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's a shock.
Yeah.
Nice talk. Okay. Right, and your final one. So, for each of the three people, you either have to give a punch, a present, or a pint.
A punch, a present, or a pint.
So your three people are Ada Lovelace, Florence Nightingale, and Margaret Thatcher.
Okay, who's the first one?
Ada Lovelace, so she's the computer genius.
Okay. Well, I would like to give the computer genius a present. Because she brought us forward. Although I'd also want to give her a punch because she's probably made our lives easier at the same time harder. Think about with technology growing, now you can mow everybody's lawn.
I know what you're saying, yeah. I mean, to be fair, back then though, a computer would have calculated numbers
Yeah, right.
at its absolute maximum. And that would have took a huge room. This was like beginning of the 19th
Yeah.
century, yeah. Yeah. End of 19th century, early 20th century. She worked with Charles Babbage on one of the very first computers. So she's very well respected, but she's, another one of them female
Right,
scientists.
underrepresented and acknowledged. Probably her data was stolen too by somebody else. Put their name on
High
it.
bloke.
Yeah. Yeah, but she started, the path. She was a an explorer, really. Another one of those kind of Renaissance people that inquisitive, didn't stop, kept learning, learning, learning.
I think it's amazing. I think it's something like our children should sort of research these sort of people as well,
Yeah.
because they're absolute pioneers. I mean,
Absolutely.
there's nothing like Ada in that sense. I learned a little bit about her because of my degree in IT,
Yeah.
sort of thing.
Yeah.
She was an important role model. But then females were, because they helped World War
Yep.
II. They were all the
Yep.
mathematicians. They calculated how to get Apollo to the
Yeah.
moon. It's people forget
I know.
this.
We need a movie to tell us about
Oh God, that's right. Yeah.
it.
Yeah. Spielberg, are you listening? Come on. Okay, so who else we got?
Florence
So,
Nightingale.
I'm gonna be interested to see who you punch then. I'm assuming you know Margaret Thatcher.
I don't think I have any punches for these three women. That I've seen the movie, but you gotta give her credit for trying and for going outside the norm. If we were to walk in her shoes, what obstacles did she have? She probably had so many
Being a female to start with.
and Florence Nightingale. I mean, it seems to be a household name that's come through the years. I'm sure she's even so, under-recognized, really, for what she's done. So I think we ought to give them all presents, and a nice, what kind of present would you give them? Certainly not a trophy, something that they could eat. I think a box of chocolates for each of
There we go. Who's turning down chocolates?
Oh, these days I
I'm the same. I ain't had chocolate in years, so I know what you
Yeah.
mean. No. No, that's cool. Thanks a lot for going through that, Carl.
Oh,
It's appreciated.
that was fun. It was.
So, so the last thing I always ask people is, do you want to tell everyone where to check out the Griffin Museum online then?
Sure. You can check us out at www.griffinmuseum.org. That's our website. You can also see us on social media in on Facebook. We have groups, we have pages, and we're on Instagram as well.
Yeah.
Just search
Thank
by
you for that.
Griffin Museum. And we're
That's
waiting
wonderful.
for you. All
Yeah.
hours, we're
Yeah.
up.
Yeah, you have to be dirty, like you say. So the last thing I do is this pay it forward
Okay.
scheme. Now, is there anyone that you would think work I should check out, whether it's on a personal level or for this show that you think's really interesting, maybe very different genre or a lot of meaning to their work or something. I do know about Jerry's work. He's already been
Oh,
recommended
good,
actually as well.
good. Well, I'm opening in a few days with a photographer. His name is Lou Jones. He's noted for his work that he's done on prisoners on death row. He's also been doing a project in going to Africa, each country of Africa, and highlighting each of these countries in a way that shows their resource rather than what we've all heard about Africa. What comes to mind are oh gosh, can't even think of the word. But it's customs or things that we associate with the continent, yet have nothing to do with the everyday. It's but
Okay.
we're actually showing a body of work that he did years ago, and it's called Distressed Memories, and it's about work that was inspired by his dreams. So what he would do is, upon dreaming and waking, he would rise and quickly put the ideas down on paper, and then he would articulate these ideas in photographs. He's
Okay.
mature. I don't really know how old Lou Jones is. We're either the same age or he's older than I am. I think he's been under-recognized nationally. People here in Massachusetts know him, but I think more people need to know him. He was the first person that I went to discuss doing that diversity.
Okay.
That diversity review. I think you'll. He has a wonderful melodious voice, and he can talk about anything. He doesn't have any fear whatsoever. Even if he doesn't know anything about it, he'll talk about it. I think you'll enjoy him.
Okay. No, that sounds really good. That sounds important work.
Yeah, it is. And if well, I mean, he's the one that told me the statistic about the fact that the major museums had never shown a man or woman of color, a black man or a black woman. And I just am so sorry I didn't show him sooner.
Yeah.
He used to be on my board, so there was some delay there, and I had wanted to show him, and I brought it to the exhibition committee, and somebody said he's on our board, we can't show him. So it was the soon opportunity that I could, I That's what I'm doing right now. And we open with him in a few days, September
That's good.
2nd.
Thanks a lot, Paula.
Oh, what a wonderful way to spend the afternoon. Thank you very much.
No, it's been lovely to talk to you. Like I say, after so many people saying such nice things about you, you've always been on my mind to do it at some
Yeah.
point. So I was just trying to find the right time.
Well, I would say keep up your photography and keep me updated on what you're doing. I'd certainly like to look at it and give you
Oh, that's very kind
advice.
of you. Yes, yeah, that's one thing. Because obviously, most of the time I'm talking about other people's
Yeah.
work, so sometimes I'll talk to someone a little
Yeah.
bit, and when it's especially someone who's experienced, you're like, "What do you think to this? What could I do?" It's not so bad then. I'm sort of learning my lessons where to pick and
Yeah.
choose.
Well, you have to pay attention to yourself, your artistic expression. That's what's going to save you in life. It's going to keep your blood pressure down. It's going to give you the release that you need and get rid of that anxiety. It's untapped, or at least you've started expressing yourself in that way. I want you to continue it and flourish. So
That's
keep
very
it
kind
up.
of you. Yeah,
Your
will do.
family will appreciate it.
Yeah, well, it'd be nice to have the memories as well, because, although I'm starting with some negative sort of things from my
Nothing
life
wrong with
at the
that.
end of no it, that's what I remember, and it'll grow into some of the nice things as
Yeah.
well, so
Yeah. And
it's just figuring out
you have your
doing.
cell phone with you. That's, I like the cell phone because it's there with you at all times. You see something, you capture something, and it'll inspire something later on. Keep it with you and react to your environment. Well, thank you for spending the day
No,
with me.
it's been brilliant. Thanks, Paula.
Bye bye now.
Hey y'all, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to that episode. I hope you enjoyed listening as much as I enjoyed interviewing. Please don't forget, if you want to get involved, I'm starting to put out there on social media the list of guests for that week. You are welcome to submit any questions you want to ask, and hopefully I'll read them out for you. Whether you want to do that through Instagram, direct message, you can just click, if you click on the direct message bit, there's a button there and you can record and send that right across. But there's many apps you can do, or email me, or send me a DM on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. That's cool with me. For those of you who want to support the show, please don't forget, iTunes reviews are always appreciated, and obviously I will read them out the following week for you, and I tend to use them on social media, so that's all very much appreciated. If you'd like to help contribute towards the show, then don't forget there's my coffee page where you can submit anything from $1 a pound or upwards, and I'll keep a note on there what I'm trying to achieve as the months and years go by. For those who want to keep coming back to the show, don't forget you can just subscribe in your friendly podcast app of choice, and there's a weekly newsletter on my website, flogger.co.uk, so that's PHLOGGER, and you'll get an automated email from me, and that tells you each week what's gone up on the website, so it's the podcasts and any articles I've wrote. So yeah, thank you so much, and I'll see you again soon. Bye.